this appreciation of the US dollar today is a global phenomenon. It's not only in South Sudan. But our wealth has been complicated by the prevailing condition, especially around oil. And so therefore, the dollar has been appreciating against the pound, and that has implications for the inflation. From what we learn, there are a few things that we know already, but there's one emphasis, especially by G20 countries, and which is when you normalize policy rates, and especially across the globe, that has huge implication on emerging and frontier markets. So the US and the Euro and these other regional bodies have a role to play. Those of us that come from the other smaller economies are also advised to not tight monetary policy so much, because when you tight it so much, you affect growth. But when you lose it also so much, you affect prices. So there's a balance to be struck. So that's a clear message that we are taking home, like other central bank and ministers of finance in the region.
When you were appointed as the governor of the Central Bank of South Sudan in October, to be precise, and you came out with a lot of new policies. One policy was you chased the money venders from the streets. I mean, you issued order that they should all be registered and have a forex bureau for them to operate. But that appears to have made things worse, based on what we hear from people, that this money changers now can come to you in your office, at home. So the black market is finding another way of survival. So when you're talking about tightening and loosening the monetary policy, how has that helped?
Let me just say we have partially succeeded as a country and as a regulator, and here's why. One, we made a broad statement, which is to say no country in the region has people standing on the street selling hard currency. It's not anywhere. So why South Sudan be the exception? We started from that premise, and we have moved on. As of today, we can ascertain that there are no people standing on the street selling dollars. We have asked them to open shops, to sell from their shops, or sell in the forex that they have, or sell in the commercial bank. Those are the genuine and authorized dealers and premises where people can sell. The few that are selling in their houses are doing it illegally, and it is again the law of the country. So the law enforcement would continue to follow that. But we know that there are people who are genuinely looking for hard currency to import things from abroad. So there's a genuine demand which can be met, but there's the other aspect of illegality. The policies that we put in place when we came were around enhancing efficiency, which is picking up, enhancing or improving communication, modernizing the bank, and expanding the branch network. And those are working. We still have a long way to go as a country because of the crisis that originally arose from the impact on the oil.
You talked about financial stability. And to my knowledge, as a layman in the issues to do with the economic, when you talk about financial stability, you are talking about your currency being very strong, you know, economic activities picking up in South Sudan. How are you going to achieve financial stability in the backdrop of a situation where you are depending on oil, and once the oil is affected, you are all affected?
Let me answer you in two parts, John. What you are describing are the macro implications or the outcomes of our environment that we have. And those ones are usually not permanent. They can change. As you remember, starting from November last year, the government has made and continues to make effort through increasing non-oil revenue. That is one area where you strengthen fiscal outlook of a country, which in then has implication on macroeconomic instability. On the other side, the government is also, through the concerned ministry, is working day and night to ensure that the oil start flowing again at some point. And at the same time, the government has also gone out to ensure that people are producing. And that's why there's been this emphasis on agriculture. This is the same thing that the president highlighted again during his inaugural speech during the opening of parliament. These are policies that the government has put in place to ensure that production picks up and revenue start flowing again. Now, from the perspective of financial sector, what is usually meant is not so much about what I've just highlighted, but what really happened to the commercial bank. Are they defaulting? Do people take so much loan? is there a risk that arises from there? For the case of South Sudan, there's very limited risk that arises from the financial sector.
And when you talk about the public, that includes public servants who have not been paid for months. And when they hear me talking to the governor of the Central Bank of South Sudan, some of them will be tempted to say, why is Tanzania not asking him about when we will receive our salaries?
Remember, John, the Minister of Finance paid one month salary not long ago, I think before we came for the spring meeting. And at the moment, the ministry is working hard to mobilize resources to pay next. Why SL is not paid on time? This is an issue that as a country, we all know that we are affected by crises sometimes that are beyond our borders. But the government is very much committed to mobilize and pay. There are backlog, but those ones will be cleared over time. We all know that one source of revenue has been affected, which is the oil. But once that starts flowing, the government will be in a position to clear as many months of salaries arrears as possible.